1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we started the spiritual gifts given to the church, and we're in part 5, and there's a lot to learn when it comes to the spiritual gifts. There's quite a bit that the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts, and I hope that you're with me. You don't want to miss any of it. And so we're just going to take our time as we study this very important topic for life together as a church family. And so our main lesson that we're carrying with us through chapter 12 is this: the Spirit gives spiritual gifts to members of the church in order to equip the church to carry out its ministry until the second advent of Christ. All those words are very important, very instructive words when it comes to what we're learning in the scriptures. There was a young schoolboy. He was trying out for a part in the school play. His mother knew that he had set his heart on it, wanted to be in it so bad, though she was afraid he would not be chosen for anything. On the day the parts were awarded, she drove to the school to pick him up. She made sure she was there early in case he was heartbroken. But to her amazement, the little young man rushed out to see her, his eyes shining with pride and excitement. And he said these words to his mama: "I have been chosen to clap and cheer." And he was excited about it. You know, in the same way, God has lovingly chosen each of us for a variety of ministries, and the Holy Spirit has gifted us to perform them for the common good of the church family. And so this morning, we're going to learn about two of the spiritual gifts that Paul has written about in 1 Corinthians 12, and they're both speaking gifts. They're words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And this was a daunting task for me this week to study up on these two spiritual gifts. And I pray that the Lord will lead me, has led me through my studies of these gifts. And there's just certain things about them that are mysterious. And they should be, because they're supernatural. They're not common to us apart from the endowment of the Holy Spirit. So they're mysterious in a certain way. And yet they're doable, because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to utter words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And so let's look at point number 3 in the outline. Point number 1 is this: how to be sure church members are using Holy Spirit spiritual gifts. There were members in the church that weren't using them for the good of the church, or not even under the influence of the Holy Spirit, but under the influence of satanic powers. And so it's important that we know how to be sure that church members are genuinely using Holy Spirit gifts. And Paul said, you need to get informed. You don't be led astray. And you get informed so you won't be led astray. And then he gave us, if you recall, in verse 3, the two tests of verification. And then point number 2, we learned that the Holy Spirit gives a variety of spiritual gifts for the common good for the church family. So there are different spiritual gifts to be used for the variety of ministries within the church family, and there are a variety of effects. So each spiritual gift will have an effect used correctly within the church, and we are told in verse 7 that there is one source, the Holy Spirit, of these gifts for a single purpose, and that is for the common good of the church family. Now, in point number 3, this morning, what we see is this: that the variety of spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gives to church members to use in their church family for the common good. And we're going to look at the gift of wisdom, the first part of verse 8, and then the gift of knowledge in the second part of verse 8. So look with me at verse 8. "For to one is given through the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Holy Spirit." Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here to worship you in spirit, with holy, heated hearts, enthusiasm, with love for you. And we're here to worship you in truth, according to how your word teaches us to worship you, that it would be acceptable to you. And the word teaches us that, in part, worship is reading your word aloud in the presence of the church family, and then teaching it, preaching it, that we all would certainly know how to rightly divide it and live according to it, so that we can manifest the Spirit within us and that we would be edified. So, Father, this morning, I just ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy, infallible word. In Jesus' name, I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Well, each member of the body of Christ, that is, each member of the church, the bride of Christ, is given at least one, maybe more than one, spiritual gift. Verse 7, look back there, Paul says, to each is given. And remember last Sunday, I asked you if you were an each. And you said you were an each. And so each one of you, each one of us, has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now also, Paul reminds us in verse 8 that the gift is given through the Holy Spirit. So this is not a natural inclination. It's not something that is common to us in and of ourselves, but it is a gift from outside that is given to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so these are then supernatural gifts of grace. Remember, charismata, gifts of grace, supernatural gifts of grace. And grace is what? An unmerited favor. None of us merit these things. And he gives them as he chooses to give them, to whom it pleasures him to give them to. In other words, the Holy Spirit is sovereign in managing his gifts among the members of the local church. So therefore, nobody should be jealous of another member, what gift they've been given. No member should be prideful over the gift that they have been given, because they didn't give it based upon their own merits. They gave it upon the sovereign grace of the Holy Spirit, his choosing. And so the spiritual gifts then are given, as we have learned, with his purposes to be fulfilled. And they are given, as we know, for the manifestation of the Spirit in the body of Christ. That is, when we are using our spiritual gifts, we manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And for the common good of the body of the church membership as a whole, as a collective. And so the first of the gifts Paul writes about is the gift of wisdom. Now, if as a pastor, and just as a Christian, I think this is one of the greatest gifts there is. And I'm not saying that because this is the first gift, that which means it's ranked first. Paul doesn't rank these gifts, although he does say that the gift of speaking in tongues is the least of all the gifts. But I dare pray, I wish and hope everyone would be gifted with wisdom in the body of Christ. He says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Now, utterance is translated from the Greek word logos, which is word. And so from that, we can understand that this is a gift of speaking. There are gifts of speaking, and then there are gifts of service. And so these first two gifts are gifts of speaking. And if they're a gift of speaking, then you're supposed to speak words of wisdom. Not keep them to yourself, but speak them for the common good of the church family. And so the Holy Spirit gives members of the church the ability to communicate words of wisdom. All right? That's what this spiritual gift is all about. Communicating verbally words of wisdom. Dr. Robertson says, in each case, it is the logos or the word which is divinely imparted the power of communicating to others. So the spiritual gift, if you will, is a word given and the ability to communicate that word. Wisdom comes from the Greek word sophia. Sometimes we name girls Sophia or Sophie. And so this Greek word wisdom is translated from the Greek word sophia, and it's most often used to refer to the ability to understand God's will and apply it obediently. Of course, every believer to some degree has wisdom, right? Every believer, and that doesn't mean that's your spiritual gift, but to some degree, every believer is called on to exhibit wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Remember, Jesus' half-brother James wrote under the influence of the Holy Spirit in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. Now, if you don't have the supernatural spiritual gift of wisdom, what do? You pray, you ask, and God, who gives generously, will give it to you. Now, it might be through experience that He gives it to you, and most certainly it's going to be through the knowledge of the Word of God that He gives you wisdom. Okay? So there's a difference here between that kind of wisdom and a supernatural endowment that only comes by the Holy Spirit in wisdom. Okay? There's a difference. There's a nuance there. But thankfully, every Christian has the ability to gain godly wisdom as we ask God for it, as we study the Scriptures consistently, as we come to Sunday school and are taught the Scriptures, and as we come to worship and are preached and taught the Scriptures here in our time of worship. And as we do those things, then it helps us then to apply the biblical wisdom to everyday living. But as one theologian puts it, this verse speaks of inspired wisdom. Wisdom God gives, not facts believers accumulate to gain wisdom. Now, it seems to me that the gift of knowledge and prophesying, like the gift of wisdom, is reporting words or thoughts that the Christian believes that the Spirit has given them in the moment. Okay? And it also appears to me, likewise, that the gift of prophesying, what is uttered in a public setting of worship, it may also need to be subject to the governing authorities within the church body, the pastor, the elders, to make sure that this word is compatible with what the Scriptures teach. So let me be clear. This gift of wisdom will never stand opposed or outside the realm of the revealed Word of God. If somebody comes to you and says, I have a word of wisdom for you, and it runs contrary to Scripture, say, get behind me, Satan. Because that is a false teacher, and that is a demonic teaching or a demonic word of wisdom, if you will. And there can be those kinds of things that take place. And so the foundation, now this should be obvious to us, what I'm trying to tell you, because the foundation and the giver of the gift of wisdom is the very one who inspired the human authors of the Word of God to write down what we call the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is not going to speak a supernatural word of prophecy or wisdom into someone that runs contrary to what He has told us. It is endowed divinely, that is, it is supernaturally given as opposed to humanly gained. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and not every member has this gift of the utterance of wisdom. And to those whom He has given it, it is wisdom that needs to be spoken and communicated for the common good of the church family. And so the Christian with this gift, as one author says, can judge correctly and follow the best course of action. And that's what wisdom gives us. One person said this, that the Christian with this gift can convey the Lord's solutions for problem solving. These Christians, I think, have mental clarity about certain things of Scripture that maybe others do not. Well, how? Well, they have wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And now Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there in your Bible, speaks about wisdom. He writes about wisdom. And these are the words he says, "Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age," "we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." So there's a different kind of wisdom. "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except who? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." Hallelujah. "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. For the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And isn't that the source of wisdom? So ultimately, the gift of wisdom is a special endowment in which the person, the Christian, can comprehend the thoughts of God as the Spirit can comprehend the thoughts of God. That's an amazing thing, is it not? "For the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "searches everything, even the very depths of the knowledge of God, and I believe imparts them through a supernatural endowment to certain Christians to be shared with the church." Now, that's what I understand godly wisdom is, and that can only come from a Holy Spirit who gives it. It's, as one theologian described it, it's marvelous wisdom, it's wonderful wisdom, and it's wisdom that comes straight from the mind of God. Now, we need that kind of wisdom shared at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen? We need that. We need to remember that this is a gift for the common good of the church. It's meant to be profitable to us as God's family. So the gift of wisdom, the utterance of wisdom. The next gift that Paul talks about is also a speaking gift, and that is the gift of knowledge, the gift of knowledge. The Bible says this, "For to one is given through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the utterance of knowledge," the utterance of knowledge according to the same Holy Spirit. Again, this is a speaking gift. The word utterance comes from the Greek word logos, which means word, and that implies that this is to be communicated to the church family. This gift of knowledge is to be communicated to the church family. And so Holy Spirit-inspired knowledge is meant to be verbally shared within the church. So here we have this gift of knowledge and the gift of the ability to share this knowledge in a coherent way. Some would say that wisdom comes from having knowledge. And I think that's true on a human plane. I think that you do have to have lots of knowledge in order to have wisdom. There's no doubt about that. But let me remind you that this knowledge does not come from human experience. It doesn't come from anything human. It is endowed by the Holy Spirit. And so I would say this, and I'm saying it cautiously, that a person does not have to exhibit wisdom in order to exhibit godly knowledge. And the reason why, as I said, is because this knowledge comes from outside of this person, given to them by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, could you be wrong on that? I think I could, but not necessarily wrong. Once again, because this is not conjured up by years of learning, but it is inspired by an act of the Holy Spirit who freely does as He pleases, with whom He pleases, when He pleases to do it. He is sovereignly in control and managing these gifts of the Spirit as He so desires. So He could take a fool and give the utterance of knowledge. And I say that if you think about Balaam's donkey, up to that point, a donkey's never spoken before. And what does God use to communicate His word? A donkey. Are you saying we're donkeys, Pastor? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that this is not something that these gifts are not things that we can do apart from help, supernatural help. Now, there could be a lot of people who act like it and could fool a lot of people. And that's unfortunately true within the church. And those aren't true spiritual gifts either. And they're not truly spiritual gifted people. So, in my opinion, wisdom does not have to precede knowledge in this case. Knowledge comes from the Greek word gnosis. And it means the possession of information typically of what is known and describes the comprehension of intellectual grasp of that something. Now, in most cases, when it's used this Greek word, it is knowledge gained by experience as opposed to intuitive knowledge or untaught knowledge. But I don't believe that's the case here for the gift of knowledge, the utterance of knowledge. I believe that this is a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit that can bring an utterance of knowledge to a member of the church family without any prior education. And they can speak this word. It's knowledge that is given as a gift by the Holy Spirit to certain members of the church for the common good of the church. And if I understand correctly, this word of knowledge, this utterance of knowledge, it's not gained by experience. It's not gained by an education, but it is given by the Holy Spirit. Given by the Holy Spirit. It is endowed, inspired knowledge. One theologian writes, as I was just quoting a minute ago, this is inspired speaking. He goes on to write, knowledge normally refers to facts. Evidently, this person was inspired by the Holy Spirit with facts that the person himself had not learned or memorized. Remember, the New Testament had not been completed by this time, so there was a need for the Holy Spirit to inspire new Christians to be leaders of others with facts concerning God's will, His plan, and His redemptive message. Most of the pagans had never seen a Jewish Old Testament, so they did not have the advantage of the scriptural preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And so this theologian points out something very relevant to our understanding of the word or the utterance of the knowledge of gift today. The Bible we have today hadn't come together as it is. Now, the Old Testament was there, but if you think about it, these pagan people worshiped pagan gods and had no idea about the Old Testament of the Hebrew Old Testament, nor could they read the language of the Old Testament. And so the Lord gifted them, endowed them with certain knowledge that the church needed to be the church, because there was a void of knowledge within the church, especially when it came to the Old Testament scriptures, because the New Testament wasn't there yet. Today, though, it's a little different for us, isn't it? Because we have the entire Bible. We have gained knowledge from the 66 books of the Bible that we have in our pews or at our home, and most of us have 25,000 different translations of it at home or somewhere. So there's not that void there of biblical knowledge that was there during the New Testament time. So this is what I would conclude about the utterance of knowledge, this gift of the Spirit, that if a fellow Christian comes to you and tells you they have a word of knowledge from God, listen to them carefully, and then see if that word squares with the scripture that you have. God is not giving new scripture anymore. We have a closed canon of scripture. He's not adding to the scripture. As a matter of fact, we studied in Revelation, those who add to it or take away from it are cursed. And so I would say any word of knowledge that's given today, it has to jive with the scripture that we have today. One theologian writes this, the word of knowledge is a broad term which basically refers to perceiving and understanding the truths of God's word. It too may have been revelatory in the first century, but it is especially the gift of communicating insight into the mysteries of His revelation, those truths that could not be known apart from God's revelation. And so he goes on to say this, God gives certain of His saints a special ability to study His Word and discover the full meaning of the text and context, of individual words and phrases, and of related passages and truths, and thereby help provide understanding for others. The gift of knowledge is the capability of grasping the meaning of God's revelation, which is mystery to the natural mind. Now, I couldn't disagree with anything Dr. MacArthur wrote here about this spiritual gift of knowledge. Like all other spiritual gifts, though, let's remember that these are given by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit and under His divine influence and His sovereign working. So what I'm trying to say is this, there's a lot of knowledge that folks can gain by studying the scriptures, and everyone should do that. But that doesn't come supernaturally necessarily. And in the case of this gift, there is something supernatural about it that a person can gain without knowledge of the scriptures. But that doesn't mean it is new scripture or additional scripture. It simply means that it has to square with the scripture that we have. All right? You know, for example, this one theologian said this. An example of this may be that your pastor or a pastor may have gone to seminary, may have a bachelor's in divinity, a master's in divinity, a doctor in theology, and have all kinds of knowledge about scripture that they've gained. And I'll admit, as a seminary student, that you need all the help you can get, and the Holy Spirit does help you. But then again, you may have a person that's never had a formal education at all, but by the endowment of the Holy Spirit, have just as much biblical knowledge as this guy who's studied for 12 years. We've got to be careful not to explain away the supernatural part of these endowed gifts of wisdom and knowledge. I'm not saying that's what Dr. MacArthur did. I'm not saying that. I agree with what he said, but if we take away the charismata, then we have taken away what Paul is saying here, that these are gifts given by the Holy Spirit that gives a person a kind of wisdom and a kind of knowledge that can only be given by the endowment of the Holy Spirit. And then likewise, because we have the full canon of Scripture today, they must square with Scripture. And again, I think it's a lot like the gift of prophesying in the New Testament church. For when a person prophesied, like when a person spoke in tongues needed interpreter, there were people within the congregation that checked to make sure the prophesying was right. Okay? And so that's why we have the checks and balances of the Scripture when it comes to these supernatural gifts. So, anyway, these are the two gifts that we're learning about this morning. And when it comes to these gifts, they're gifts that are meant to be spoken for the profitability of the common good of the church family. That's what they're given. They're not given to puff a person up or to make someone feel more important than someone else within the church family. They're there for all to gain something from. The gifts of the utterance of wisdom and the gift of the utterance of knowledge. Amen? Amen. There was a former park ranger at Yellowstone National Park, and I'm going to close with this story, who tells the story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. Well, along the way, the ranger was so intent on telling about all the plants and all the animals and things around these hikers that he kept getting messages on his two-way radio, and it became a nuisance to him, so he turned his two-way radio off. As this group of people and this ranger neared the lookout tower, a breathless volunteer came running to them who asked them why had he not responded to the messages that they were sending on his two-way radio, because there was a huge grizzly bear that was in pursuit of this group. And they had been trying to warn them the whole time they were hiking towards the lookout tower that there was danger. Now, anytime we fail to use our spiritual gifts, we're like this park ranger who tuned out the very help that he had been given. But in this case, we don't tune out another human being. We tune out the Holy Spirit of God. And that is detrimental, more so than a grizzly bear. So perhaps we have some members here at Liberty Baptist Church who are gifted with utterances of knowledge and utterances of wisdom, who are reluctant to share those spiritual gifts. And if that is the case, then the entire church family loses out on the benefit of a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And I think that is something that this church, as well as all churches, need, especially in the day and time that we are living. We need all the wisdom and all the knowledge that the Spirit wants to give to us for our common good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here as a result of the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we only believe that. It's not folly to us only because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. If we had not been born again of the Holy Spirit, we would not be saved, and we'd probably not be in church, or we would be here as an unsaved person, which is not a bad thing. But thanks to the birth of the Holy Spirit within us that took place without us knowing, giving us a new heart and new ears, that the Scriptures would no longer be folly to us, but would be life to us, that we were brought from spiritual death and spiritual blindness to spiritual life and spiritual sight, that we could see our need for a Savior, Jesus Christ, because we are sinners and we are hell-bound. But thanks be to the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been able to see the true love and light of the gospel and our true need as a human being, that we needed your forgiveness and the shed blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins as He takes on the penalty of our sins and gives us His righteousness, so that we can stand before you redeemed, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, saved by your grace and your mercy by faith. And you have given us a heart that would choose to believe and that has chosen to believe. And we know that for a fact because all that you have given to the Son, we know will come to Him, and He will not cast them out, but will raise them up the last day. And in the in-between time, you have given us ministries and work to do, and the Holy Spirit has gifted us in order to do them. Father, help us to obediently use our spiritual gifts for the common good of this church and for your glory, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.